Well, welcome to the season of Advent. I think this is working. And this is week two. And so we started a kind of a different order of service last week. It remains basically unchanged, but there are the hymn of the day and the closing hymn will be different. What's the number that I have listed wrong, David, in their booklets? Or is it just for you? Okay, the closing hymn. Okay, so the closing hymn is hymn number 247 instead of, and I'll just let you know then. You guys probably don't need to know that, it's just me. I just want to make sure that we weren't tripped up. So 247. All right, well, let's take a moment of quiet as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. I invite you, as you're able, to please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the keeper of covenants who comes to set us free, the loving Savior who comes to show mercy, the source of inspiration and comfort who guides us through peace. Amen. O Lord, you have searched and know us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up. You discern our thoughts from far away. And you are acquainted with all our ways, so that we cannot flee from your presence. If we say, surely the darkness shall cover me, the light around me will become night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Search our hearts, O God. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Most merciful and brilliant God, we confess that we have sinned against you, choosing to walk in darkness instead of light. When faced with the needs of this world, we have shut our eyes. When walking with community and strangers, we have placed our needs above theirs. We forget that the light shines in every person and all of creation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us and renew us, so that light shines and the glory of your love is made known. Amen. Jesus Christ shared his life with us, and through him, God forgives all of our sins. We have been made whole by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have been set apart to proclaim the liberating acts of the one who called us out of darkness and into his restorative light. As a member of this community and sister in the faith, I acknowledge this truth, that our sins are now and forever forgiven. Free and ready to serve, stand up and raise your heads. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep.
But a wind from God swept over the face of the waters.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Strengthen our hearts, for the coming of the Savior is near, O God. God be with you.
And also with you.
By his coming, give to all the people of the world knowledge of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Wait for the Lord, whose day is near.
It is now time for us to hear from the Holy Scriptures, and it is brought to us today not only by Psalm 1, but also by two in our village who have memorized Psalm 1. So I am going to invite Addie and Mason to please come forward, and they're going to bring us our first lesson tonight. Okay, you can just stand right there and it'll be able to hear you.
Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. For his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. He is like chaff that the wind drives away. For the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Psalm 1.
Good job. They have a tradition in their family household that they memorize scripture together, so that seems like a wonderful gift to us here. Yeah, we join in singing, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," as we prepare to light the Advent wreath.
Just your will and God our way.
Join us as we prepare to light our Advent wreath.
Each phrase will end with, O Emmanuel, and you are invited to respond together, prepare us for your coming.
At every beginning, there is a yearning for the one who is coming. O Emmanuel,
prepare us for your coming.
We gather together to get ready for what? Only heaven knows. O Emmanuel,
prepare us for your coming.
We wait for the day when God will create a prevailing peace on the earth, and natural-born enemies will turn into new-born friends. O Emmanuel,
prepare us for your coming.
We get ready for God to come close by laying our lives open to Jesus, asking him to sort through all our mixed motives. O Emmanuel,
prepare us for your coming.
Jesus, we welcome your presence now with the lighting of these candles, whose flames bring warmth to winter and fills this place with the glow of hope.
I invite you to please stand as you are able for the Holy Gospel. This is the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius and ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And John went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths of the Lord. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the Holy Gospel. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So this evening's gospel reading is the very beginning of chapter 3 in the Gospel of Luke. The last story in chapter 2 of Gospel of Luke, Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents, have lost Jesus. He was about 12 years old. Turns out the kid was fine, hanging out in the temple, perhaps showing off a bit. And when his frantic parents finally found him, he greeted them with appropriate preteen snarkiness. Where else did you think I was going to be but in the temple? And then it jumps into this last verse of Luke, chapter 2, is, and then Jesus increased in wisdom and years and in divine and human favor. And then, bam, we're jumping into his adulthood at the beginning of Luke, chapter 3, in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius and so forth. We launch in today's gospel text almost unexpectedly, and it leaves me wondering what happened. We find out in Luke chapter 3 that Jesus was 30 years old at that time. And I have to say, I find it really helpful that Jesus didn't start his formal work of ministry until he was 30. That was the year I started seminary, so I was feeling a little bit behind when my friends were already done with grad school, but hey, if Jesus didn't start till he was 30, I was good. But seriously, what happened? We know basically about his infancy. There's this one little weird narrative about when he was 12, and then suddenly he's an adult. That's 18 years unaccounted for, and then, you know, basically the 11 years before that. John the Baptist was supposed to welcome this guy in to prepare the way. But how do you account of Jesus' 18-plus years being MIA? Anybody heard of the singer-songwriter John Prine? Anyway, I'm watching the old people go, oh, I'm sorry, the wise and older people.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Give it up. So he's kind of a folk icon. And he wrote a song. It's really more of a lot of songs back in the day were more of stories than they were, and you kind of pick along on the guitar as you're going. And it's called Jesus, The Missing Years. Now, if you could just imagine a little finger pick and folk grip in the back of your mind, that'll be great. And here are some lyrics from John Prine. It was raining, it was cold, West Bethlehem was no place for a 12-year-old. So he packed his bags and headed out to find out what the world's about. He went to France, he went to Spain, he found love and he found pain. He found stores, so he started to shop. But he had no money, so he got in trouble with a cop. And it goes on from there. I'm not going to read the whole song for you. It's a little bit ridiculous. But I mean, think about it. There must have been some kind of life-changing, getting lost along the way, not worth writing down in the gospel stuff happening during that time. A Yale Divinity scholar calls it an odd chronological gap. Odd indeed. This scholar, Michael Beth Dinkler, suggests that it's part of how Luke is actually telling the story. His priority is to give an orderly account, and in case there was any question about that, he tells you right away at the beginning of chapter one, right? I decided after investigating everything carefully from the very first to write an orderly account. Luke is by far the most orderly. It's why you get that long history in today's gospel. So watch what he does, right? It starts with the angel Gabriel coming to Zechariah, and if you don't remember who Zechariah is, that's John the Baptist's dad, right? And he finds out that he and his wife Elizabeth, who are really old, I mean older than anybody in this room, really old, that they're about to give birth to a son, right? And his son John, he would turn many of the people, this is quoting scripture now, he would turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he would go before the Lord to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness and to make ready a people so that they're prepared for the coming of the Lord. God is coming, and God's job is to call people to repent. Which, if you don't know what that word means, to me it always sounds like this, like, awful, heavy, like, I'm sorry. And that may be part of it. But repent, the word actually means to turn. So if I've been walking away from God or walking away from caring for my community or walking towards something that's not life-giving, repent means that I'm turning around and kind of focusing my eyes on God and what's life-giving again, on you, my brothers and sisters, right? That's what repenting is. So that's what this time in preparation for Christ coming is. It's about repentance. It's what John was trying to do among the people, to they would turn toward God, and this is how essentially he was called to prepare the way. So all of that is still, it's being birthed and it's all being fleshed out, even when he's just a baby in Luke chapter 1. Then we learn that Mary is pregnant, right? The one whom John is called to prepare for. Mary and Elizabeth connect. There's that whole cool scene when Mary shows up on Elizabeth's doorstep. John, who's in Elizabeth's belly, kind of leaps because he's so excited, womb to womb, to see his cousin Jesus coming. We get the whole story of Jesus' birth. That's the better part of Luke chapter 2. And then there's the brief story of Jesus in the temple when he was 12. And then it's almost like Luke just can't wait to get to the good part. Like, let's just keep this story going. And Jesus increased in wisdom and years and in divine human and favor, blah, blah, blah. And then enter jubilant music this time. Can you hear the jubilant music in the back of your head? In the 15th year of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor and Herod ruled over Galilee, his brother Philip ruled over some places that I can't pronounce, and then Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. What he has done is he has named the whole web of the power structure that was in place in that time, and that gives a precise historical pinpoint as to when this thing happened, that John, the son of Zechariah, received the word of God in the wilderness. Cue the music that lets you know something really important has happened. But what does John look like? I mean, there's just been, we talked about this in Bible and Brew, that there's this web of like prestige, right? And then what's our image of John the Baptist? I thought it was in more Gospels than one, but it's actually only the Gospel of Mark that talks about what he looked like and how he behaved. You guys remember? He wears like scruffy clothing made of camel's hair. He wears camel hair clothes with like a leather belt. And you guys remember what he eats? bugs, locusts, and wild honey. I mean, this is kind of a weird dude. They thought he was kind of one of you. Think of people that, like, live in the desert or live off away. He's probably, like, off-the-charts introvert, right? And kind of wily and probably not real good social skills. So, I mean, I think of this gruff guy that has been the one that is selected to prepare the way for Jesus' coming. And where is he found? In the wilderness. Again, from this scholar from Yale, Dinkler notes, the Hebrew Bible portrays the wilderness as a place of desolation and scarcity. And I find that really helpful. But that is where we find the one that will prepare the way for the coming Savior. Now, I recognize Jesus is not the only one with some missing years. I believe this is true for all of us in different ways because we each have walked different paths. But there was a time in my life when I read scripture for fun and for the life-giving nature of it. Now it's mostly to prepare for public stuff. There was a time in my life when I eagerly looked forward to time in prayer, where I could sit quietly or read or journal my heart out. And now it's usually only happening during retreat time away when I give myself room for that kind of intimacy. And I have to say, I'm feeling it, the wilderness of it all. I feel the desolation and scarcity. I feel the need for repentance, for that holy turning toward God and whole relationship. I'm not just literally in the wilderness here at Holden Village, as all of us are, but I believe that spiritually I'm there too. But through this Yale Divinity Scholar, I'm also reminded that the wilderness is also, in Scripture, a place of safety and divine provision. Let me say that again. Again and again throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament and New, wilderness is a place of safety and divine provision. Right. You all prove to me time and time again to be my food, my shelter, my support, and my encouragement. We all do this for each other. That's what being in community is about. And a voice crying out in this wilderness that we all share together, it's what we are invited to do with and for each other, to call to one another when some turning is required, whether it be turning toward God or turning toward each other or turning toward the earth that so desperately needs us right now or turning toward those who suffer, both near and far. For all these things, each and every one of us must cry out in the wilderness. And I pray that each and every one of our voices gets heard. Amen. The hymn we'll be singing together is hymn number 255, and you are invited to stand for the singing. This one may be new to you, so grow comfortable with it, and if not, listen to your neighbor singing next to you. Let us stand.
Faithful, but I'm not.
As we await the coming of Christ, we pray and hope for the church, the world, and all of creation. O God, we ask you for these things. Prepare your people to share the good news of a life-giving God. Put your word within us and dwell among us. Send us out to proclaim the mercy and restoration that abides in you. Give us wisdom and compassion to care for wilderness areas and urban ecosystems alike. Mold us into peacemakers who are rooted in your love and fed by your word. Comfort all who hurt and wrap them in your tender care. Bless this community with strength and joy to care for the needs of those closest to us. All these things, spoken and the prayers that remain unspoken, we ask that you hear, O God. Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring you our prayers in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let us take a moment to share a word of peace with one another. Tonight continues to go to folks who are in California suffering from wildfires and working to rebuild their communities. And please know that 100% of the offering goes to those in need. So thank you. offering prayer, but then also kind of the, what would normally be the place in the service for holy, holy, holy. So I wanted to say a little bit, I geeked out on this a little bit. So when on my internship, I noticed during the holy, holy, which we always do after what's called the proper preface, so there's sort of a, the Lord be with you, and that's sort of the greeting, and then the pastor will go in and do sort of this introductory piece that's usually pretty thematic to the week. And then the congregation starts singing, holy, 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 Lord. That's the L-E-W that I learned as a kid. And he would, whatever the holy, holy was, he would cross his arms like this, and he would go like this. I just thought that was really weird. And I finally got the courage up to ask him, after he'd been doing this for a long time, like, why do you cross your arms and bow like this? And he's like, well, it's because when the holy of holies, when all the seraphs, you know, were, you know, flying around, you know, basically God's presence, they were singing that song, holy, 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 and that's where we get it. And it says that they crossed their arms, they crossed their wings and bowed their heads in honor of God, and then they had extra wings to fly, which I thought was pretty cool. But, so anyway, so that's why there's that second, we're actually singing about where that holy, holy, holy language comes from when we sing about the seraphs coming. So, that's me being geeky and nerdy. And the other thing I just wanted you to know, on the River Jordan day, where like John's going to the River Jordan, it's actually like flowing out of the altar, did you notice? It's pretty fantastic, right? It was because we couldn't find the altar cloth. And then look what happened! It's pretty great. If anybody knows where the altar cloth is, that'd be great. All right, let us stand and join in singing the first verse of Let All Mortal Flesh Be Silenced. With you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new, and the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, singing, we come together.
On this feast, the six-winged seraphs, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the ceaseless voice that he cried, Alleluia, 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 Lord Most High.
Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. And blessed are you for your son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection, and we look with hope for his coming. Let the people say, come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us to bless this meal, and may your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people, fill us with your light, and bring the gift of peace on earth. Let the people say, come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory to you, Holy One, keeper of the covenants, word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus has taught us a prayer, and I invite you to pray a version that you feel most comfortable. You may stand quietly as well. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from life. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Please know that all are welcome to this table, as it is Jesus' table, and it is he who invites you to come. You may be seated. A little bit of word of orientation. We also don't want the elements themselves to be a barrier, so we have lots of options. The first person standing will have gluten-free wafers, and you're invited to take a gluten-free wafer if that's what's best for you. I will be holding bread, and I will tear off probably a sizable chunk. You can dip it in the cup that the next person will have, or you can drink directly out of the cup as well. Or you may just choose to eat the bread and then we have these small pottery cups, and then either wine or juice ultimately can be poured for that. And then there finally will be a basket where you can put your empty cup. So again, all is prepared. Our prayer is that you all feel welcome at this table. If you prefer to have a blessing, you can simply come with your hands folded or arms crossed your chest, and I'll know to offer you a blessing. All is prepared.
You sing 471, 471.
Thank you.
may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks that this bread and cup we have feasted again on your endless love. Let that love overflow more and more into our lives, that we may be messengers to prepare the way, harvesters of justice and righteousness, and bearers of your eternal word, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I invite you to join in singing with me hymn number 247. 247. To please stand. Direct your ways in peace. Make you abound in love for one another and for all, and strengthen your hearts until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy God, Holy Trinity, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.